Lord for the good singing tonight. For you being here. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the Lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight, if the Holy Ghost would trust me, on fishing with Jesus. I'm confounded in the age I live in for what the church is doing, what churchdom is doing, what so-called Christians are doing. I'm not pleased, and I know God's not pleased at what's going on under the name of religion and soul winning. And I don't really like the term of soul winning. It's all right. But I'm an old timer. I don't make any apologies for that. But I got saved one time, and I know what it takes to get born again. And I think that how one man gets saved is how another gets saved. That the requirements for receiving salvation, he may approach it different and act differently after he gets saved. But the whole program is the same for every sinner. And we're living now in the Laodicean age. And outside them doors is where it is. And we have to understand that there are certain things that are going to be. But praise God, we don't have to take up their tactics. I confess to you that I do not know how to lead a sinner to Christ. I confess to you at 73 years old, been preaching since 1960, that I do not know how to lead a sinner to God. And I'm really not trying to find out, because that's not my job. I've always thought that is the job of the Holy Ghost. And I know that it's going to take preaching to get sinners under conviction. Nothing else is going to do the job. Singing's wonderful, but it cannot convict a sinner of his poor lost condition. And I want to preach to you this this portion of Scripture that I read in your hearing is a soul-saving Scripture. It's a lesson, first of all, to these apostles that were with him and involved with him, and secondly, to everybody that would read this book. And Christ is the teacher, and there's none like him. And he's going to do it using their occupation. And it's amazing at the wisdom of God and how he does things and teaches men if they'll take teaching. And we in this present age have no excuse for not knowing how to worship at the house of God and deal with lost kind. Now I'm just taking my time tonight, and I'm going to work through this if the Holy Ghost will let me. And this business of winning people to God. And Jesus now is going to do an operation here and try to bring these people to the knowledge of what they need to be doing with their ministry. And it said the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God. That's an amazing thing. Very few people now will make any real effort to hear the Word of God. Singing, yes. Meals, yes. But very few to hear the Word of God. And I'm not talking here about comedians and motorcycle riders. I'm talking about pure Holy Ghost, old-time preaching of the Word of God. Our nation is starving to death tonight to hear God's Word. I'd heard, I didn't see, and thank God the only reason I heard any of it, my wife wanted to listen to the inauguration. I said, are you going to listen to that? And she said, I want to. And I said, go ahead, I'm going to the other room, shut the door. But I could hear my son was up there by some clerk, and he let me hear over the phone, just screaming. And I thought, Lord God, one short old-time message, and then leaving thrones like the king. Obama is not king, and Bush was not king. We traded a bad thing for a very bad thing. And we're in a mess tonight, but our job as Christians is to live to make somebody hungry to get what we've got. And we're failing, terribly failing tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. Just to sit alone in the motel room. Just me and God. And fellowship together. And I get to thanking him and praising him just to know and feel warm and secure. When I think about my eternal future, I'm glad I'm saved. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, there does need to be some washing done and some things washed out of the net. Got caught up in the worldly junk that's going on to call religion and church business and God help a bunch of folk that claim to be having church and got everything in the world mixed up in the church and calling it part of winning people to God. Santa Claus never has won anybody. Christmas trees have never won anybody. Ball games have never won anybody. It's the preaching, the Word of God, the singing of the old songs of Zion, and I want no part. And I'm telling you what tonight. I'm a talking, I know, to the choice people that believe in this good old way. But I'm going to tell you, if there's any inkling in you to get a hold of something else, shame on you. And I'm just going to tell you folk here tonight how that's that are in our group. We've all slipped a little. We've given in to some things. We've let some things come into our life and into our churches that are not pure. And there needs to be some cleaning of the nets. That's exactly how y'all are listening to me tonight. And I'll say every man of God in here tonight. And I understand some folk have let out their prayer meetings and come, and that's a wonderful blessing. But I'll tell you, if it's not in this New Testament church after the book of Acts, you ought to get rid of it. I believe that's right. Everything that's not in this book after the book of Acts, cleanse it out of the place and preach hellfire and brimstone. It's the only thing that'll get sinners under conviction. Now, Jesus is going to use somebody's boat. And there's two of them there. And he chooses one to operate out of. They didn't choose it, he did. And the Lord's going to operate how he wants to. In the church that he wants to. With the people he wants to. He said, you're talking about sovereignty, preacher. That's exactly what I'm talking about. He's a sovereign God doing as he pleases, when he wants to, with who he wants to, and he'll choose the ship that he works out of. And the rest of the folk aren't to get jealous. And so he gets on Simon's ship and tells him to push out a little bit from the land. He wants to get a little distance from the people that he can talk to everybody. And he taught them out of the ship. Now you can make this ship anything you want to, I guess. A local Baptist church, a local Presbyterian church, whatever you want to make it. But he's in the ship and he's teaching. And he's still teaching tonight. You don't think just because he went back to glory that he quit teaching. He's still teaching and he's still using the ship. They're not teaching, he's not teaching through the seminary, he's not down at the bar. He's up teaching and working through the church like he always did. And the main object of the working of God is to see people born again. It's the main shot is not to fix marriages, nor to heal the sick, nor to raise the dead, but to get folk to bow to him and get born again and get their nets cleaned up so they can work. I want to help you if I can tonight. God help us. I'm a seeing this thing wherever I go, a slipping and a sliding, just drifting away from this old time way. I got some churches in my country that are strict old-timey. Just strict. We've got, in our day now, you can't hardly go to church unless they're preaching prophecy, talking about the rapture and who's going and what kind of judgment and which judgment you're going to stand at and when the rapture's going to be and who's going to go first and how it's all operated out. And they go home and the lost are still lost. And I know all of that stuff's in the Bible. And you say, preacher, what do you think about it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think about it. I'm going to think what I think, let you think what you think. And if God tells me to let you know what I think, I will. But until then, I'm just going to preach this Bible and let it happen. I'm going to tell you one thing. However it happens, I'm ready to go when he comes. Bless his name. And my object is to get somebody else into the family of God before it's too late. I started out, I was in that liberal church. Happened to be a Southern Baptist church. That didn't make any difference. This independent Baptist church is more liberal than Southern Baptists were now. They are. And wherever you go, you can get liberal and sometimes old-timey and all of them. But I'm going to tell you, God called me to save me and called me to preach. And it was a miracle that he did. They let me conduct prayer meeting. And I got had my grandfather's library, let alone I thought it was the biggest library in the world. It was about this big and about that high. And I thought there wasn't nobody in America had a library like I did. But I got to reading. And I was reading B.H. Carroll. And I'd go prayer meeting and I'd get tell them what B.H. said. They thought that's pretty good. Sounded pretty high and fancy, you know. I'd give them that, and they didn't know any difference. They just noticed it sounded pretty good stuff. But I got back down there behind the log one day and got to praying, and God said, if I'd have wanted B.H. to preach, I'd let him live. But I called you to preach what I want you to preach. Ain't that right? I'm glad I don't have to go to Hammond, Indiana to learn how to talk to lost souls. Amen. I was in a barber shop and my barber's cutting my hair and he knows it ain't going to take long to do mine. He'll just prolong and get to talking to me. And he said, I want to ask you something, preacher. When you're dealing with a sinner, what's the first scripture you use? And I said, I don't use any. He said, what? And I said, I don't use any. I said, I know what you're talking about, Romans and all that, you know, and that Roman road and all that. But I don't use any scripture. I said, one thing I do, I aim to wait till God's talked to him before I talk to him. It won't make any difference what you say if God's not already spoke to him. Ain't that right? And Jesus now is going to teach and did teach out of the ship. And after he had taught that throng on the shore, didn't say anything about response, didn't give an invitation. Didn't expect to go off somewhere and brag about how many professed faith that morning. Just taught them and then began to work with the apostles to teach them. Oh, for the day again when we don't think we've got to make a report on Monday morning about how many got right in our services. I'm sorry to say that nobody's been saved in my church for a long time, and if it don't get right, it's not going to bother me. I mean, I want to see them get saved, but I'm not going to make a mockery out of it. Amen. Now, Jesus said to Simon, let down your nets for a draught. He said, I want you to go fishing. And I thought this afternoon, you know. And Peter began to tell him about how they'd worked all night. And I got the Mountain Hebrew on that, and Peter said, there ain't no use at it. That's what he said. We done tried it. And there's no fish out there. They ain't going to bite. I think I knew why they hadn't bit, because the Lord had told them the night before to go hide. He said, I'm gonna work with my men tomorrow, and you stay away till I tell you to, and then when I tell you to, I want you to come here. You think he's able to do that? I believe he can. And Peter said, nevertheless, I know you're going to have your way, and I'm going to let down, and I'm going to show you. I believe that is in his heart. That's Peter, you know. That there ain't nothing out there. But lo and behold, when they followed God, they had great success. Amen. Ain't it something to know that the God of heaven can bring results that are right, and it makes no difference if there's one person saved or 25 saved, that if it's God's will, leave it alone and don't try to fake it and make disciples when it'll do nothing but make them twofold more a child of hell. Amen. Now, I'd like to work this around if I can. I don't want to be too long because another man's going to preach. But I'd like to make you hungry, really hungry, to see people get born again. We've about lost now in our churches the real desire in the church to see lost people get saved, including where I am. And so they're slipping through our fingers, coming in our churches, growing up, and going out, leaving the church unsaved, and God have mercy on us. And you see, the reason is the pull out yonder is greater than the pull in here. And the reason it's greater than the pull in here is we're doing the pulling. And if all we got is our pull, we'll not really win anybody. But if God does the pulling, if we can get Him here and here on Sunday morning and Sunday night, if we can somehow or other pray and get a burden for lost humanity, and this is why Christ came in the first place, it's to save old sinners. If you get serious, He'll get serious and visit our places and convict the lost. When God convicts the lost, that's all we can do. Just pray and let Him do the convicting. And that's all you can do. If God sends you to somebody, that'd be fine. But until He does, it'd be best for you to leave Him alone and wait for God's time. That's right. And so they let down the nets for the draught. And lo and behold, what a bunch. I believe Jesus said when they was letting them nets down, said, "All right, you fish, get in." And they got in. If God don't speak to sinners, I've seen a host of sinners come and 8 or 10 or 15 get born again the same night and leave shouting and praising God. And I've preached for weeks and never had anybody to get saved. And I'm going to tell you, if I preach for a week and no one gets saved and I've done my best and the church has sung and prayed, I can go home and lay down and sleep just as like I've been 25 or 30 got saved. It's God's business and not mine. I believe that's right. Now, what are we to do? At the command of the Lord, we're to let down the net for the draught. You cannot put the fishes in the net. You can talk to them all you want to, use every kind of bait you want to, but they'll not get in God's net. And a whole lot of our, I'm talking about Baptist churches, that's what I am. We went out there and sung them in and fed them in and made it easy for them to get in and dim the lights. And brought them and read to them and said, "Do you believe until our churches are filled with goats? That'll make trouble at every business meeting, at every pastor election. And we wonder why in the world things are in such a bad shape. We've caught crawdads and frogs and terrapins and no fish in the sight of God. It's a shame and a disgrace." Whoa! I'm glad I know that. And there's some phrases in the New Testament that I would just look and say, "Why is that there?" It said in the net break. I wonder why they had in the Scriptures, in the Holy Writ, it looks like that wouldn't make any difference at all. But the Lord said, put it in there, that the net break. And I thought, well, I wonder why it broke. I mean, the Lord said, let it down. He put the fish in there. Maybe He put too many in. And that's what broke it. I think somebody that was working on the net didn't tie their knot. I think somebody failed somewhere in the work. And I won't tell you, it didn't sound about any of them getting away. Just said the net broke. And it is too heavy for them. And you know what they done? They said, "Hey, you over there in the Methodist church, would you help us? Hey, y'all over there, the president, would y'all come and help us?" You say, "Preacher, I don't like that. That's what's the matter with you." Now, I'm going to tell you, I know what I believe, and I believe it's strong, and I mean, I really believe it's strong. But I'm going to tell you, I ain't in the group is where there's only ones that's saved and knows how to win people to God. I mean, knows how to live and have an influence that'll make sinners want to get right with God. I know that's right. We need, hey, every one of us, we need help. I'm not in the ecumenical council. I don't belong to the National Council of Churches. I ain't going to join. I don't belong to the ministerial association in Larue County. If I did, it wouldn't belong but a week, and they'd throw me back out again, so I better not join. But I'm tell you what, I'm all for getting together to win souls to Christ. I wonder, Lord God, help us again to come back to one Bible. To unite with this old 1611 Bible. And let it be Scripture. I tell you, I hear people supposed to be Scripture. I don't know whether they're reading the morning paper or what it is. And after a while, it becomes no Bible. And there's a departure place in there somewhere where you cannot any longer win the lost by reading out of a perversion. I believe it's the New King James Version. They got all kinds of King James Versions, New King James. And there's a lesbian on the committee that wrote the thing. Do you think God's going to bless any such mess? And we think we can win souls and be diverse and believe everything in the book and not really believe anything. It's not going to work. I'm going to tell you again, there's a line in this Bible for God's people to take a hold of and believe and practice. Amen. Now, when all this happened, and I want to come down to this, and I'll soon be done. Peter fell down at the Lord's knees. He said, Lord, just leave me alone. I feel like a wicked man. Isn't that something over a net full of fish? This drew up a net full of fish, and Peter just fell down before the Lord. Said, he found out that the Lord's running the whole business. He's been a fishing all his life and realized last night he's a failure and this morning he's a success because Jesus said do and he did and had a multitude of fishes. Hallelujah. If we can ever get to the place where we've got more confidence in what God wants us to do and what we want to do, we're fixing to have success. I want to read this to you again now and staple it on your mind and heart. And he said, Jesus said, fear not, said, from henceforth. He said, was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. They're all astonished. They use that word, astonished. And Jesus said, fear not. You see, here comes the climax of the whole lesson now. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And then I want to get this into your heart if I can. And when they brought their ships to land. When they brought their ships to land. They forsook all three things now. If you want to be influential on sinners, you ought to park your boat. Get all your ways and contrary ways out of the way. And let God handle things. They're fixing to lose their occupation. And they forsook all. I wonder if you've ever completely surrendered. I'm talking to mamas and daddies in here tonight now that have lost children and grandpas and grandmas that have lost children. In 3 or 4 more years, they may get out of your reach and control. And you're going to lose influence on them. They're going to get away from you. It all depended on here, on how much they wanted what God wanted out of them. He wanted complete surrender, and that's what he wants out of you. Makes any difference if you're a 13 or 14-year-old girl or young man. God wants you to park your ship and forsake all and follow him. I want to tell you tonight that if you could come to that place for the love of God and sinners, all of your life would be different from here on out. This is a financial crazy age. And we won't, and we're going to have no make any difference what we have to do in order to have. We're going to have it. And that's why our churches are cold and sometimes empty. Because we care more about our ship than we do the work of God Almighty. And we will not forsake all. We're so in love with things. I'm still amazed at this electronic age. And they're trying to jerk me over into the 21st century, and I ain't ready. I finally got a... I decided I'd buy me a laptop. I mean, that seemed like everybody's doing it, you know, and I stay in these motels by myself. I've had it about, I guess, 3 or 4 years. And I've learned to turn that thing on and off. You wouldn't believe hardly how I can do that. That's as far as I've got. And it ain't going to get me anywhere. But I was in a motel in Georgia. And I realize I'm crude and old-timey. And there's a fella maybe here tonight. If you are, brother, I don't mean to embarrass you. But he was blown up 3 times in Iraq. And the government's taking care of him, and I'm glad of that. He came and brought me another laptop, said, I want you to have this. And bought me, what is it, a Palm Pilot? Is that what you call them things? And it won't work for me, but he said he'd come back crying and said, I want to give you something else. And I said, what in the world, buddy? He said, I want to give you a Purple Heart. I'm talking about a real one. Took that thing out and handed it to me, and I said, I don't know what to do with this. And he said, you're my hero. And he said, I got a whole handful of these things. And he said, I want you to have one. I'd rather have that than be governor of Kentucky. Thank God. And they forsook all.
Yes.
And followed him. I wonder how bad you... How many of you got folks close to you that's lost tonight? Oh, I'd like to see them get in. The most joyous sight to me is seeing a sinner get born again. I don't know how many I've seen saved. Maybe 1,000. I don't know. But it's always a great joy to see a sinner that I really believe got born again. And I'm critical, I guess. If they just go up there and walk around a little bit and say they thank God saved me, I'm not too impressed. But when I see them, I think, go through the fire, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and come up crying and laughing and hugging their families. Thank God it does something for me that nothing else does. Would you like to see your young'uns and your grand-young'uns get born again? Listen to me now. I'm talking about the most serious business in this world. Most of us are going to have change if we see it happen. And if it's going to happen out of the God's ship where God's in, if it's going to happen through us, we're going to have to make some changes in our way of doing it. The Holy Ghost wanted me to tell you what I've told you tonight. I want you to stand, please, if you will. I want to sing a song. Folks may need to come and pray and ask God to help them with their lost folk. If the Holy Ghost is touching you and you need to come and say, Lord, help me. Call the name of your child or your grandchild. It'd be good. Amen. Maybe somebody here that's lost and wants to get right. Amen. You come too, if you will. Amen. Well, we'll sing 2 verses, brother, if nobody comes.